This is a CJRU podcast. Welcome to Atlas of Resistance. I'm Rocky Petkoff, and on this show, I talk to the grassroots activists fighting for social, racial, and environmental justice right here in Toronto about why they fight, how to win, and what you can do to get involved. Today on the program, I'll be speaking with Dave Shelnut. Dave has long been a champion and advocate for the Toronto cycling community, and he has regularly provided legal assistance to cyclists as part of his law practice, but today I will be speaking with him about another one of his endeavors, the Bike Brigade. Founded by Dave in the immediate aftermath of the pandemic, it has grown from a simple means of support for those in isolation into a network of more than 100 cyclists who are plying the streets of Toronto, making deliveries on behalf of food banks and organizations like FoodShare and the Toronto People's Pantry. In addition to making deliveries, they've also developed expertise in bike marshalling and have worked in concert with groups like Not Another Black Life to keep actions safe without the need for police intervention. So it goes without saying that I am very excited to have Dave on the program today. So Dave, thank you so, so much for coming on the show today.
Rocky, thanks so much for having me on. Any day I get to talk about cycling and the Bike Brigade is a good day.
Awesome. Let's get started. And I'm going to ask you just that. In your own words, what is the Toronto Bike Brigade?
The Toronto Bike Brigade is a collective of volunteer cyclists who, since basically mid-March, the beginning of the sort of pandemic fear and lockdown in Toronto, have been safely ferrying food and supplies across the city to folks in need. It's really an incredible thing to be a part of and is a highlight to my week every week.
Okay, and what led you to start the group about a year ago?
Well, that lockdown seems different than this one. We were all worried more. There was a collective worry amongst the entire city and province and nation that we were in for a really tough time, which was true. And my mom came home from Florida, and so had to had to get her across the border before it shut. But then I'm like, okay, well now she's has to be isolated for 2 weeks, you know? So I was like, I have to get this person groceries. And immediately was like, that is probably a lot of people, whether you're senior or in another at-risk category. There just right away came to mind that a lot of people are going to need a lot of help. And sort of turned then to my local community, which is like the Parkdale area in Toronto, to see what leaders in that community were doing. And when I say leaders, I mean like food banks, Parkdale People's Economy, and community groups like that, and just wondered how I could help.
And just to be clear, like has the group grown beyond just the neighborhood of Parkdale, or is that still kind of the central hub around which everything is?
Oh, no. And even from the early days, that's just where I turned, because a lot of community leadership in Toronto comes out of that area and I'm connected there. So that's where I turned. But from the early days, we were delivering stuff east, west, north and south. And we continued to do that. We of course, have some limits on our bikes. We're not going out to Oakville very often, but we deliver across the city of Toronto.
What was the most difficult part of getting this organization up and running and able to kind of fly on its own without you having to be involved in every little thing?
I would say that the most difficult part was not getting people involved, because on a normal day in Toronto, cyclists are constantly talking about safety and community. We attend council meetings to talk about bollards and paint. It's an engaged section of society. Getting people, I didn't have concern about that. And that remains the case. Just last weekend, we had 12 new riders show up on a Saturday. What was the biggest hurdle was being able to help folks and doing it safely. We didn't know much about the sort of virus at that time. And so we didn't want, as a friend at Cycle Toronto said to me, good intentions to lead to terrible results. The biggest hurdle was, okay, who can we turn to for medical and safety advice? Thankfully, around the corner, University Health Network, they were teaching people how to deliver to seniors, and sort of I took part in that, as did many other volunteers, and they continue to provide us with updates.
I can imagine that being very, very difficult, especially back then when everything was so unknown and uncertain.
Yeah, you didn't want to like send cyclists up into a senior's home, you know, with no mask. There, it was fraught with potential disaster. So we wanted to make sure that we were doing it right and helping people didn't lead to hurting them. Like the whole goal was to keep people out of the hospital, you know, so that our service provider, frontline workers and healthcare teams could do their work.
Is this your first time being involved in community activism work like this?
For most of my life, I've been involved in community organizing. During or just after university, I worked on the community mobilization team in post-war West African countries. And when I came back to Toronto, I went door-to-door in sort of North York and different places around town for Toronto Acorn, for tenant rights and minimum wage campaigns and things like that. So no, it's been something I've been thankful to be a part of different campaigns and causes for a long time.
Dave, something that made me very interested in talking to you is that you were quoted in the press as saying that your group is a background group, that you're aiming to form the backbone, the infrastructure upon which other groups can stand and do meaningful and important work. And I'm wondering why you think it is important that groups like yours exist that are willing to do maybe the often unsexy, and those are my words, not yours, but the often maybe unsexy or at least unheralded logistics work that is nevertheless very important.
We basically provide volunteers an opportunity to support the groups and organizations that make our city run, you know, in a lot of ways, or especially during the pandemic. So regular folks who have two wheels, no COVID symptoms, can get involved and support community groups that are they're carrying a lot of the weight. So even being able to just provide a point A to point B logistics arm for those folks that's green, that's safe, and that gets other people in the community involved to and then establish community connections is really such a privilege and a pleasure.
If you just tuned in or tuned in recently, you're listening to Atlas of Resistance on CJRU 1280 AM or around the world at atlasofresistance.org. I'm Rocky Petkoff. Joining me in conversation today is Dave Shelnut, the founder of the Toronto Bike Brigade. And for those who aren't in the loop, the Toronto Bike Brigade is an organization of cyclists who ply the streets of our fair city, making deliveries on behalf of community organizations. And Dave, I'm wondering if you might share with me some of the organizations that the Brigade supports in its work.
Well, you know, right out of the gate, we sort of helped out individuals who didn't know where to turn or had found themselves isolated for the first time, you know, without having access to community groups. So that's sort of how it started. But it's very much turned into, like I said earlier, a logistics arm for community organizations. So right now we work with three different food banks, Parkdale Community Food Bank, Fort York, Avenue Road. We deliver hot meals from various participating restaurants down to the Encampment Support Network. I think that's connected with the Toronto Drop-In Network as well. Just last week, I took 18 meals myself for sistering to one of their homes. And then we do a weekly thing where we, with Food Share Toronto, where we take their donated good food boxes to various members of partner organizations across Toronto. So it's all over the place. We've done not just food stuff though. Food insecurity is a major thing that we're going after. But we ferried around art supplies, art therapy supplies for Maggie's Sex Work and Action Center. We've done Indigenous medicine packages for a couple organizations in town, and meal cards or gift cards and things like that, just to allow people to access things themselves.
When you're deciding to partner with an organization, is there some sort of litmus test that you use to figure out which organizations you want to support?
I mean, in everything that we do, we always, and we learned this from one of our partners, we followed their lead, the People's Pantry, is that we prioritize communities that are more adversely affected by COVID and food insecurity than other groups would be. So, you know, that's Black and Indigenous groups, women, trans folks, home insecure people. We prioritize that in what we do, but most of our partner if not all of our partner organizations prioritize that as well. And we learn from them. So that makes that easy. If you are doing great work for our communities, then we're here to support you 100%.
During the pre-interview for the show, something that you were really keen to impress upon me is that the Bike Brigade is not just Uber, but free. It's not just meant to be this free delivery, free logistics service. And I'm wondering if you could share with me, what do you mean when you make that distinction, and why is that distinction important?
Throughout the pandemic, couriers and delivery folks on cyclists have been the backbone in many ways of people getting food and goods and things like that on a paid level. And that's been really important. We're just separate from that. We're just regular folks with some time on our hands that we, you know, would rather volunteer than put into Netflix. So I watch a lot of Netflix. I'm not at all down talking that. But we're 100% volunteer our services, and we only work for community organizations. Like, we don't give volunteer services to a local business to get free delivery or something like that.
For all this talk about the deliveries and supporting community organizations by delivering food and other essentials, the thing that first made me aware of the Bike Brigade is actually the work you've done marshaling actions. You marshaled actions for Not Another Black Life. One of the actions I actually helped organize in Davenport, you helped marshal that and keep the action safe. And to maybe the lay observer, it seems like quite a different task than maybe your core area of focus. So I'm wondering, what led you and what led the brigade to take on this different type of work?
In a word or two, I would say Black organizers and Black leadership. Those folks knew of us through some of our food delivery work, volunteer food delivery work, and reached out at a big rally just after Regis was killed by Toronto police. And asked members of the Bike Brigade to be marshals for them as they shut down some streets. And these Black leaders and organizers provided us with manuals and sort of schooled us on it. And we did it. We loved doing it, and we loved working with them. And so that kind of blossomed to a marshaling services being provided to other groups protesting throughout the city this summer and fall.
So, I mean, it's clearly continued going on past the summer. I'm guessing this is something that the group is, it's something you're looking to kind of make a core part of the organization's mission going forward, offering that kind of service and that sort of expertise to different actions that, you know, they might not necessarily have all that stuff in-house.
Certainly, Rocky. From our work with mutual aid groups this spring and summer, we learned the phrase solidarity, not charity. And that embodies exactly what we're here for. And so what that means to us is that we can deliver food, and that's sort of a charitable act. But if we're delivering food to a community that then turns around and says, we want to defund the police because they're killing members of our community and we feel unsafe, and we'd like you folks to help us get that message out and be there when we demand it publicly. If we're just there to deliver the food package, but we don't want to get involved in these other issues, then that's just charity. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to stand with our communities, whether it's fighting food insecurity or police brutality. So in any way that we can stand with communities past just riding our bikes and delivering food for people, we're going to do that because we want food insecurity to be a problem of the past. And so that's going to take a multifaceted and multi-pronged approach and advocacy. So you know, we're going to use whatever skills we have beyond delivering food to make the systemic changes necessary to do away with things like food insecurity and systemic racism and anti-Blackness.
So it turns out that perhaps, you know, I'm a bit wrong, and that maybe these two plans really do kind of come down. And while at the surface you see two trees, under the surface you see those root systems really intermingling. Something I'm wondering about, and I know this is a kind of maybe a sensitive area, so you can't shed too much light on the specifics, but I'm wondering if you, at a very high level, you could comment about the kind of things you do in order to keep an action safe.
Sure, absolutely. It all sort of comes out of the request from Black organizers and Black leaders that we want to demonstrate and we want to do so safely because these issues are critical to our survival. And we don't want the police there because they make us very nervous and they're targeting us and harming us in many ways. So can you folks provide a safe alternative to that? So, you know, we provide traffic services or we're working toward the de-escalating situations and things like that. Just providing folks with safe passage so they can exercise their constitutional and charter rights. That's a bit of law talk, but more fundamentally, when there's a systemic failure and people want to publicly address it, they ought to be able to safely.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Atlas of Resistance on CJRU 1280. I'm Rocky Petkov. Joining me in conversation is Dave Shelnut, cyclist and founder of the Toronto Bike Brigade. And Dave, I'm wondering, since you founded this group 8 months, I guess a year ago now, what have been some of the growing pains that you've faced as you've kind of grown the group and scaled out and scaled up? And if you've faced any of these growing pains, what are some of the ways that you've dealt with them?
What's really remarkable is that it's grown from like just a seed, like an idea, into a bunch of volunteers biking around to like a fully functioning organization. We got a logistics team. We got people organizing with different partners. All our deliveries are done through an app system created by one of our team members. Sitting back and I'm looking at our Slack channel and seeing all the things that are going on and happening and being led by people that aren't me, but are just as committed to this idea and what we do as people for our community is like really touching. Like there's a bunch of things I couldn't even chime in on because I don't even know the full details of what's going on. They're coordinating incredible deliveries and working with partners. It's really something beautiful to behold and has assuredly helped me get through this pandemic with high spirits. We did our big delivery days were Tuesdays for the longest time. And all of us said, Tuesday is the new Friday. It was like such a shining beacon during the week that we got to do this collective action together every week. And we moved it to Saturday during the day for safety reasons. And people love it for the safety. But, this past Saturday, we're talking to some folks and they're like, you know, I do like it better because it's safer during the daytime on Saturday. But I miss having a ride on Tuesday to break up my week. It was really a highlight. And that's like unanimous across the board. With our riders. So I don't know, like I'm sure there has been hiccups and there's been like growing pains and like, you know, we are not perfect and we have made like some missteps certainly and hopefully like we're learning from those. But like on the whole, it's like such a privilege and a pleasure to be able to work with these folks and cyclists across Toronto.
Something I would like to say is that when I first heard about the Brigade in activist circles, I was really convinced that y'all had been around for a lot longer. Like I thought y'all were some sort of mainstay of the Toronto activist scene. So it really surprised me when I found out that y'all were only 8 months old. So I really have to congratulate you at risk of maybe losing my impartiality as a host. Congratulate you on the organization that y'all have managed to build. The next question I have for you touches off of something you said in your previous answer. You said there's, you know, you have people working IT, building websites. And I'm wondering what sort of roles might there be in the Brigade for people who aren't cyclists themselves, if there is in fact roles for people who aren't themselves cyclists?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks Rocky. And thanks for your kind words. That means a lot. We just welcomed a new Brigade rider or a new Brigade logistics volunteer this Saturday. And Riley doesn't ride a bike, but she's a sensational human and is absolutely great at helping us get boxes into people's hands and get instructions to folks on Saturday, which was her first shift with us. We have people working behind the scenes on, like you said, tech, web development, social media, outreach with different organizations, all sorts of stuff. You know, we're working on like different trainings for our team, anti-oppression, anti-blackness trainings and things like that. There's always room. We always need more riders and we always need more knowledge and people as part of our team.
How much effort goes into making sure that Tuesday rider, I guess it's a Saturday ride now, but how much effort goes into making sure that ride goes off smoothly each and every week?
The funny thing is that is like, we do 130 boxes of food out to folks, like 60 plus riders in a day. But because Max and the IT team have put together this app and this communication system behind the scenes, basically Food Cheer comes and drops off 130 boxes at my office, but they're already assigned. Riders already know who they're going to. That one runs like clockwork. It's new deliveries and new partnerships that sort of take the time, because there's like, we want to see what folks need and see how we can support them. And different organizations have different needs and different capacities. So navigating that, I think, is the trickier thing, you know?
And kind of almost drawing this to a close, you mentioned earlier in the show that the motto, solidarity, not charity, encapsulates the work that the Brigade does. And it's kind of the motto that you use as your North Star. I'm kind of wondering for you personally, though, what does that mean to you? What does solidarity, not charity, mean to you?
Solidarity, not charity means to me waking up every day and using my day and my white male privilege to dismantle the systems that created that privilege and make this city and my community a better place. It's more than just doing one thing a week or signing a petition one day and then forgetting about, you know, Black Lives Matter until the next Black person is killed and CNN makes a big deal about it. It's showing up for those issues and those causes and advocating for them every day, even when the media glare isn't on. We got to mobilize and work together. And that's all the time. Charity would be me donating to BLMTO tomorrow and then waiting 6 months before I did anything else. Solidarity is being there to support them whenever they need.
And letting them, and I think one of the other things I picked up from this is listening and letting them tell you where that support is needed.
Certainly. One of the privileges is like being able to like sit down and listen to incredible leaders, BIPOC folks who are so skilled and able to effectively assess what the community needs and provide for communities when the system is failing. So being able to learn from those folks and follow them is a real pleasure.
And time enough for just actually one more question. It's the question that I end every single episode of the show with. To those who are listening out there, I know we can't see them, but trust us, they're there. What's your call to action?
The Bike Brigade grew out of the pandemic, and it is an opportunity in history, an unfortunate one, that our systemic failures have been put under a microscope for all to see. The pandemic has made clear the problems of food insecurity, economic unfairness, and racial injustice. And we ought to all take this time to look at that and see how we can work together to change those things that they should have been plain for you to see before, but they definitely are now. Perhaps it's a moment in history where we can affect some change. So take the opportunity to do so. Grab a bike and join the brigade. Come on. It's fun.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to talk with me today, Dave.
Thanks too, Rocky. You rock, man. Thanks so much.
Once again, that was Dave Shelnut of the Toronto Bike Brigade. And if you want to pedal for a good cause, you can go on over and check them out on social media. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at the Bike Brigade. You can also visit them at their website at www.bikebrigade.ca.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want
to ride my. If you liked this episode, be sure to follow the show on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Atlas of Resistance, and you can email the show at atlasofresistance@protonmail.com. And if you missed part of this episode or wish to check out previous episodes, you are in luck. We have a podcast. You can find it on our website, atlasofresistance.org, or wherever quality podcasts can be found. Up until now, Atlas of Resistance has largely been a solo voyage, with all production work, editing, and writing done by your boy, Rocky Petkoff. But I have to admit, I had a little bit of help with the music. For the show's intro, you heard Midnight Rendezvous by Cassiopeia. And you are currently listening to Bicycle Race by Queen, which I promised myself I wasn't going to play for the show outro, but I had to listen to the song when putting the show together, and man, that song is a straight up banger, so you can't hate me. Anyway, the next episode of the show will be out in 2 weeks' time, and it'll feature my conversation with Sharmeen Khan of No One Is Illegal, and it'll wind through issues of status, migration, detention, borders, and ultimately why Canada might just be better off granting residence to all those who come. Until then, though, I've been Rocky Petkoff, and I'll see you in the streets.
Jesus, I don't wanna be a candidate for being number one again. Cause all I wanna do is bicycle.